From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome back to Defrag Tools. I guess we're going to call this Season 2.
Here we are.
Season 2. We've been off the air for a little while. Season 1 ran for like 2.5 years straight.
130
episodes. 130
episodes.
So, but anyway, took a little hiatus. Andrew's been working hard on what we like to call Threshold, a.k.a. Windows 10.
Yeah. Very busy.
Yeah, yeah.
The corridors are a-buzzing.
Yeah.
With activity.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's been exciting seeing all the new features coming out and all the bugs coming in, all the bugs getting fixed. A couple of them not getting fixed. Most of them getting fixed. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
Well, the important ones are done.
The important ones will be fixed. Yeah. Well, it's going to be kind of an interesting change of paradigm, if I may use that word, and I think I may. Because we're not going to be doing sort of big, you know, Windows releases from now on. It's going to be more sort of updates pushed out, incremental updates pushed out
especially
periodically.
You could kind of think of it like service pack on service pack on service pack forevermore, if you want to analogize it to a slightly older time.
Yeah.
But yeah, flighting is definitely a very interesting concept and has its interesting issues to deal with.
I think
it definitely is the way to go. It's how everybody else works, and you get to use the latest and greatest all the time. So
yeah, it's going to be cool.
I found personally under the covers Windows 10 to be really interesting with the way that the universal apps have been, you know, brought up and stuff. And so I've spent the last 6 months working on, you know, bang analyze changes and various other things to make all the Windows 10 features debuggable and, you know, identifiable and stuff. And so lots of cool stuff. Right.
So that's what the show's about. Defrag Tools, your view into Windows internals and Microsoft internals.
Yeah.
We've been talking about some stuff to do on the show. Maybe do some more campus tour kind of stuff. Go around, talk to people, give you a little view inside what happened here at Microsoft.
Kind of replace that void that Going Deep used to do, where Charles used to particularly go to people's offices and stuff. So
yeah, we might do some more of that stuff in the future, so stay tuned for that.
And I thought we'd be back to weekly. I mean, a gap here and there because, you know, we're busy.
Weekly-ish.
Yeah, weekly-ish.
We'll try and keep doing some more of these. I know it's been a while.
Yeah.
But we're back. Back in black or fuchsia or whatever this.
I'm back in black.
You're in black. That's right. So what do we got today?
We're going to repeat episode one. So we've done this a couple of times. Episode one was making a USB stick. I'm more of inclined to say a OneDrive folder these days because that's where I tend to keep it rather than a USB stick.
Yeah, times change.
I mean, I've got a terabyte of quota. Use it, damn it.
So we're not going to repeat episode one. No. We're going to update episode one for current technology.
So we've done it for Windows 7 in the past and that era of technology available around then. 8.1, and so we're going to do the whole thing again now with Windows 10. So there's no real need to, you know, do the other ones in the past. This is going to be a brand new one. And actually today what I'm going to do is, previously I was like putting deltas on top of each other. I'm actually going to do the whole thing from scratch again. So like if you just follow along, this is where you get to.
We like to call this your lightsaber, your Jedi tool.
Yeah.
Your troubleshooting tool.
And the idea is to make it so, I mean, a lot of these things are just MSIs that you can install and stuff, but you get this change control problem in a lot of environments, particularly servers, where you don't want to run an MSI which requires elevation to achieve something. Instead, you just want to use the tools. And so what we're going to do is a lot of the MSI tools, we're going to get to the point where we can X-copy them onto the box rather than deploy them. And then some tools like sysinternals are X-copy intrinsically, so that's kind of achievable by its own right. So what we've done in the past is build up this My folder, which just has all our assets in it. So I'm actually going to call this My Old and start again from scratch. And we're going to build up to where we were before. The first thing I'm going to do is grab sysinternals. Sysinternals suite, which is the zip of everything. Save it. I'm going to get rid of the suite. Whoops, get rid of the suite off it because I'm going to want the folder to be called sysinternals. Download it and then And then we're going to not open it, we're going to open the folder. Scanning. Lots of X's, so it takes a bit longer to scan.
Oh, right.
And getting there.
Bear with us, folks.
Yeah, we'll get there. It's a long scan, isn't it?
That is a long scan. Are you sure you have your turbo button on your computer?
Yeah.
I always used to check that back in the day. Like, my computer's running a little slow. Better check the turbo button's on. That tells you how old I am.
That's
if you get that reference, you are also old.
So it was only... They didn't have turbo on XT, did they? They only had it on AT, right?
It was mostly on the clones, actually, like the PC clones, because it was, you'd be running games and stuff, and they were designed to run on like a 4.77 megahertz PC, and you'd be running on like a 16 megahertz clone. And so the game would run too fast to be unplayable, so you'd have to turn off the turbo button, which would slow your clock speed down to normal PC speeds.
And this is before you really knew what a clock was, so you just ran it full chat, and you knew that was about the right timings.
But then the problem is sometimes you'd forget to turn it back on. You'd be like, why is my computer running slow? Oh, I forgot to turn turbo back on.
Yeah. Anyway, so SystemTel is downloaded. All right, so the important thing to do is press unblock. Otherwise, when you extract it, you'll have to click unblock on every single executable. Mm. And if you multi-select exes, the unblock button's not available, which gets really annoying when you've got 70-odd.
So you got to do it on the zip file. That's the trick.
So extract everything, and now we have sysinternals available. So while that's doing that, the next one we're going to do is the Windows 10 SDK right there at the top. And we'll have links in the show notes for this. And then we're going to download the standalone SDK file, save as. And we're going to make a folder called the Win10 SDK. And we'll put the setup program in there. Now, this is just a bootstrap program. It's tiny. And then we're going to run this guy. Now, if you're a developer, you'd obviously do this a lot more. You would install it the top way, which is like as an MSI, just install it, integrate it into my environment, you know, add all these additional features to Visual Studio, stuff like that.
Yeah.
For us, we actually just want the data itself. And so we're just going to download the files. And then currently, it's like 700 meg-ish worth, but we don't need that much. Sure, we'll tell Microsoft what's going on. We actually only want the top three, the Windows Performance Toolkit. So if you're new to the show, we're actually going to go over these kind of basically each time. Mm. Windows Performance Toolkit is all about working out performance. So think of it as troubleshooting over time. Mm-hmm. Debugging tools for Windows is crashes and hangs. So that's troubleshooting at a point in time. App Verifier is a way of putting stress and constraints on applications to find bugs in them so you can identify stuff. And then everything else is just code. So we're just going to grab the first three, performance for troubleshooting over time, debugging tools for point in time debugging, and App Verifier to cause stress. And we jump down to 150 meg.
So these are basically the three parts of this that are about sort of troubleshooting rather than app development.
Yes, so the IT pro side of it rather than the developer side of it.
Right.
And there you go, there's sysinternals, all happy. What I'm going to do is grab, while we're here, grab proc dump. I tend to make a folder called dumps. And as you can see, there's all my crashes in here. And so I'm going to copy proc dump into this folder. And while that's downloading in the background, let's jump in that dump folder. I'm just going to uninstall anything that's there. And then what we're going to do is we're going to set up procdump to capture full dump. So MA is memory all. Mm-hmm. Memory P is mini plus, which is like partial. And then no setting is a small one. Mm. When it's local and stuff and you're not going to upload it to the internet or anything, full dumps is fine. You can do this on client and server. Obviously, if you're doing it on server, you're going to get big dumps of big applications, so be aware of that. And of course, it's got lots of PII in it, so be careful about that too. And then what this says is, install procdump as the post-mortem debugger. And so if you're a Visual Studio person, when you install Visual Studio, you'll notice that whenever an application crashes, it'll pop up that purplish Visual Studio box saying, do you want to debug this instance?
Right.
Same subsystem, has existed since NT 3.1, All it does is write these two these registry keys, you can see here. It's written the 64-bit one for 64-bit crashes and the 32-bit one for 32-bit crashes. And now every time something crashes, in the background, it's going to put a dump file in here, and it's just the process name, year, month, day, hour, minute, second.
Looks like MSIT's been crashing on your computer. Yeah, a little bit.
And this is actually, these WMIs are the ones we covered. We had a WMI debugging episode many, many ago, and there's those dump files that are still happening to this day. I haven't got around to fixing that.
Well, it looks some like of them, whoever writes Solitaire hasn't fixed their bug yet.
Well, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, no, 05. Wasn't it?
Well, or you have to go.
So, and then some of them you go, well, it's background task host fault. Well, no, the background task host is a hosting container. And so it's like SVC host and various other things like that, where it's actually a DLL in it that's failed rather than that itself. Same thing goes with Explorer. The odds are it's some extension that's in Explorer that rather than Explorer itself.
Third party.
And once again, same with WWA host, which is modern apps. Right. But anyway, so this is now going to capture a dump file whenever something goes bad. And then you can go through these and enjoy it. In fact, if people want to, want me to do it, post in the show notes. And if you want me to do a show where all I do is run through all of these and tell you what they all are in 15 minutes, you know, how fast it is, what approach you should be taking based on small nuggets of information right at the start, we can have that episode if you want. Yeah. And so that, oh, it's 99%. That's good timing. 99.
Oh, there you go.
I'm in the zone. Done. So now we have a standalone SDK. Now normally, then you could run this program and it would run the installers. If you go down here, right at the bottom, there is some MSIs. Actually, I'll sort by type. And so here are all the MSIs that are available. It just so happens that the debugging MSIs, these two, which so we released the debugger for 64-bit and 32-bit Windows. Mm-hmm. We happen to release the Windows Performance Toolkit for all three, including ARM, so that's old Windows RT, mm-hmm. and then App Verify re-release for 64 and x86. And so they're the MSIs we care about, so if we actually copy those and just dump it in the root for now. And then we don't care about the ARM one. So at this point, if you're trying to be, and we don't need to set up program anymore. If you want to be space conscious, you can just kill that. Mm-hmm. You've harvested out what you want. I mean, you could stop at this point, and then you've got the MSIs you need, mm-hmm. and just walk up to a box and install these. Right. The next step, the other option you can do is to go one step further and actually install them. So let's install the debugger. Because they're part of the Windows kit, they've got hard codes for the path. So you don't get any of those old dialogues that you used to see where you say, oh, I want to put it in this folder and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just doing that. You could apply a...
silently install.
Yeah. You could apply a template, of course, and redirect it all. And I'm going to grab this. Now, I'm not going to bother installing App Verifier because it's not a Xcopy app. So that's one of the things that you just leave as an MSI.
So you would recommend putting this, like, for people that do this a lot and need to take this to a lot of different machines, put this on a OneDrive share.
Definitely. And that's the step I'm going to do, the last step. I'm going to copy this.
Oh, okay. And I'm jumping ahead.
And so you just move it to OneDrive at the end, and then whenever you walk up to something, log in. I do this with friends' PCs a little bit. They'll say it doesn't work. I'll just say, do you mind if I make a temporary account? And I'll just log on, sync that drive, and come in, and then run as me. I tend to like running as a new user, so you don't kind of get awash with it. Maybe their viruses and stuff. Mm. Anyway, so copy it to OneDrive at the end, or you can just download it for OneDrive. Either way. All right. So now we have the MSIs installed. So now we're going to do some harvesting, and so we're just going to do a bit of OCD cleanup. And make some folders for these applications.
Got a few typos there, but
do I?
Yeah, a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Debugging.
Also, performance.
You're missing the apostrophe. Debugging tools.
Debugging tools.
That's what I like to call it.
Yeah. bit of cleanup. And now what we're going to do is do some harvesting. So let's snap that guy to the left. And the because of the bitness, the apps get installed into program files and program files x86. The x86 ones go into Windows kits. Here's version Windows 10, so Windows 8 and 8.1 we've had before. Before that, Windows 7, they used a different layout of hard drive. Here's the debugging tools, and here's the x86 directory. We're just going to copy that across to the debugging tools folder. Next to it is the Windows Performance Toolkit. Windows Performance Toolkit, you run the 64-bit installer, but it always goes into the x86 program files because it's an x86 app capable of profiling 64 or 86. And the other MSI, which I didn't run, the x86 MSI is only 32-bit on 32-bit. So there's the Windows 64-bit one of those. And we're just going to call this, let's call it WPT, make it a bit shorter, WPT. And that's it. Oh, so we need to do the 64-bit version of the debugger. Program files, Windows kits, version 10, debuggers, and there's the 64-bit one. So now we have all of those. So what you can do, I mean, this is completely optional. If you can leave the MSIs installed, or you can just go in here now and uninstall them. Because from this point on, we're going to reference it by the Xcopy version of it rather than the MSI version. I do believe the Windows Performance Toolkit MSI adds itself to the path, which is quite useful. So if you are going to be using it a lot, you're just like, you know, typing Windows and doing it the normal way, you might want to use the MSI version. But once again, the reason why we're factoring this out is for change management, so that when you walk up to a server, you don't have to elevate to install an MSI for starters.
Right.
So you might have a situation where you just don't have access. Mm-hmm. And then for these two guys, you're just going to X-copy them onto the box and do your thing.
You don't have to run any installer, have install privileges.
Change the path, all these other things. Actually, next episode is going to be about paths. So stay tuned for that. So we now have it all farmed out. And you'll notice in these in the past, we've done this before, and we've ended up with a folder called C debuggers and C debuggers x86. Now, the x86 one isn't a standard, but it kind of is a logical flow on. The debuggers is. So C debuggers is where you want the 64-bit debugger on a 64-bit bug in a box, and it's where you want the 32-bit debugger on a 32-bit box. You want this keyword. The reason why it's a keyword is there is inside the debugger folder a DLL called dbghelp.dll.
And this is part of the engine of the debugger uses to actually do debugging, right?
Yeah. So the help is the symbol engine, and engine is the debugging engine.
Right.
Now, the reason why this is important is if you do a where of dbghelp.dll, you'll see it's actually in the Windows folder.
Ooh.
The version that ships with Windows is different to the version that ships with the debugger. The version that ships with Windows is capable of taking a dump file, but not of analyzing it. And so if you load this DLL in tools like Process Monitor, Process Explorer, procdump, it will have a limited ability to do things, and normally it can't show you stacks and stuff.
Mm.
Where if you reference the one out of the debugging tools, it does. Windows Performance Toolkit actually ships dbghelp with itself, so it's already running the most update version. But if we run kill the sysinternals registry keys, which is under current user software sysinternals, and kill those, you will see, for example, when you run procmon, under symbol options, it's going to default to C debuggers. It's going to pick that up and use it.
So that's why it's important to have it in that path.
Yeah. So actually, while we're here, because I just did that, I'm just going to make sure that I just threw away the registry keys that do the licensing for sysinternals. So I'm just going to uninstall procdump and reinstall it because we got rid of the license exceptions, yeah, the EULA end user license agreement. So yeah, so we want this debuggers framework. So let's kill these old ones because these are ancient Windows 8 code. And let's use these. Now I'm going to rename the 64-bit one to debuggers. And I'm going to rename the x86 one to debuggers x86. So there's nothing wrong with you running it out of this folder. I mean, it's the debuggers actually can be run from any folder and, you know, side by side, all that type of thing.
Pretty self-contained.
Yeah, but you want to, as I said, you want them to be located in C the C folders just for so those tools are happy. Okay. Now on the Defrag Tools OneDrive, here on the home page. This used to have a SkyDrive link, so you might want to make sure you update to the OneDrive link. This jumps across to the OneDrive, which happens to be pointing to the OneDrive on my own box. There is PDE version 10, right? And so we can... Why is that? That's interesting.
That's odd. There it goes.
And what we're going to do is make another folder. So we're going to make a folder called WinEXT. So far we've only got the debugger extensions that that have come with the debugger, right? Mm-hmm. And so PDE is one of those ones, and SAEEXT to a lesser extent is another. There's also this. Why can't I? It's really weird. There's also this registry file that we're going to apply. And I'm not going to try to fight this right now. I'm just going to copy it off my local hard drive. The shared folder, this is the folder. And so I'm going to copy off these files that you can download. And there's these three, the symbols.cmd, WinDBG minus A and minus A without the PDE debugger extension. I'm also going to grab the Xpress scripts. And the rest of them you can grab at your own leisure. But these are the ones that we really need for the USB drive. And this is dump these in the root for now. Make a folder just to be neat called scripts for these guys. And then make a folder called Windows Performance Toolkit for the Xpress scripts. And we can actually grab all those and extract them. So this is my collection of scripts for the driving Windows Performance Toolkit from the command line. This guy, we're going to extract, and then PDE, the 64-bit one, needs to get copied into our extension folder for the debugger. And here's the x86 one that goes into the equivalent Windows extension folder for the x86 version. So now we have PDE available. And PDE is a debugger extension that I write that helps you interact with the debugger. One of the other things that we've got is this architecture flip CMD file. I didn't change the
forgot to do the unblock,
which means that those other ones are not. I might actually just do that again quickly. Yeah. And quickly copy those to the debugger folder again. Replace the one that's going to have the block on it. So do a copy paste. And then lost it. And then in the root file there is that CMD file that I was trying to get. The CMD file, what it does is it sets an environment variable. Set X is the set command, but it's a permanent one. Set X without anything there is just going to make a variable called that with a value of 1. If you put M, it's at the machine level. So it's the user versus machine registry keys. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to do is run that and set that up so that if you open a 64-bit dump with the x86 debugger or vice versa, it will flip to the other one for you so that your architecture match. So a 64-bit debugger is debugging a 64-bit target, and a 32-bit debugger is debugging a 32-bit target.
Nice.
So we've got the DLL, and we've got that. The last step is to actually associate DMP files with the WinDBG. The PDE one is going to load the PDE debugger extension at boot, which then does the architecture flip magic. So that's the one we want. You could just type WinDBG minus capital IA and mm-hmm. get this, but we've if you look back in time, you can see you'll see that it's a little bit, it's missing a couple of things, needs a bit tweaking. Mm-hmm. So we've modified it slightly. And what this does is for the dump, hdump, which is heap dump, mini dump, and cab files, you may debatably want to get rid of this, but if you download a dump file from Watson as an application developer, it'll come down as a cab file, and lately as a zip file as well. But it will default to open up WinDBG for you. And then it makes some shell menus, and then most importantly, it loads PDE at boot. So let's merge that into the registry. And so now that file association's there. And the other step we want to do is make some folders and set up all the environment variables appropriate. So this makes some folders under my, which is going to hold your symbols. And this is why you kind of want to keep the two separate. You don't want to be, well, you can debatably, but you don't want to be caching your symbol files in your OneDrive folder. Right, and there's another good reason.
Yeah, kind of a waste.
And then SimCache is Windows Performance Toolkit caching PDB files from this folder. Home directory just it's a bit of debugger magic that makes sure that it's happy using the CMI. And NT symbol path, this is the main crux of what you need.
Yeah.
And this is the Microsoft internal symbol server. And in the following weeks, we're going to be doing a whole lot about symbol resolution with SimProxy, which has been bumped up in version 2 in Windows 10. And then this is using that symbol cache from the Windows Performance Toolkit. So that's run that. And this we run it administrator because they were doing it at machine level, see the /ms. So you need access for that. And now we have environment variables that have everything configured. So sysinternals and all those guys are going to be happy, and they're going to pick up these defaults by the default values. And we have file association. So now if I click on a dump file, it's got the icon there because it's come from the registry file. And it's going to come up. It's got a symbol path. That's great. It's pointing to a symbol server. That's great. And
it's loading PDE automatically.
And loading PDE. And this is a 64-bit one, but let's try one of these. See that flash? The 64-bit one's gone, and it's reloaded as an x86 one instead, right? So it's architecture matched, which means the commands for, I think this one, because it's a CLR exception, it means if you do bang PE, it works. If you had loaded the 64-bit, if you were using the 64-bit WinDBG against the x86 target, that command doesn't work. So we now have our lightsaber. It's quite small and compact. This is the base set of what you need. Sysinternals tools and debugging tools for Windows factoried out, and you've got the Windows Performance Toolkit tools available to do tracing and all that type of magic.
So with all these tools, you can troubleshoot just about anything on Windows.
Well, yeah. Well, it's definitely a good start. A
lot of stuff.
There's also a lot of tools in box too. So if you, once you, collectively, those two together get you a long, long way.
So get you, cover most of your bases then.
Yeah, so I mean, I tend to do this once per SDK release, or isn't a brand new flat, do the whole process again. Every month or so, sysinternals updates, so you would download the zip file, unblock it. And then just extract over the top of what you've already got.
Just overwrite.
And then just then, as you keep your OneDrive and your local disk in sync. Good thing about knowing that the C:\my on your hard drive isn't valuable or not critical. If the symbol cache builds up, it gets a bit big, or you just think there's a bit of bloat in there, just kill the my folder. And just copy it down again from your OneDrive.
Pull it off the OneDrive again.
Yeah. I walk up to any box, as I said, and that's what I do. I copy into there. I know my tools are going to be there, laid out this way. Mm-hmm. And then I know the version. So like, this is basically this Windows 10 SDK file was anything different. And so when I'm merging it up here, I'm just going to copy it up here. And I mean, I haven't purged the past. Mm. I've got other tools from the past that we've talked about in the show that have just slowly built up. Like we did a network monitor one. So that's mm-hmm. that. We did some Silverlight debugging. That's that. We've used Winterlake tools for modern app discovery. And you know, it shows you all the modern apps were installed. And yeah, so it's staying consistent and having your LifeSaver handy. As I said, OneDrive makes it really easy. It's only a couple hundred megs, if that. And quite easy to download and use and troubleshoot everybody who keeps on asking you what they did wrong.
So debug this crash for me, please. Yeah. What's wrong with why is my computer slow? Or what was earlier we were your computer was kind of slow. We were like, well, should we look at that now? We don't really have time. But yeah. You could.
Yeah.
So.
And we will.
That's what the show's all about. All right. So that's our show for this week. Thanks for watching. And we'll be back next week with something interesting, maybe involving paths.
NT search path.
Right on. Well, thanks for watching. Have a good week.
Have a good week.